Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's Block O is now an All-American. On Wednesday, the Sporting News named OSU's Sonny Styles to their first-team All-American squad. Styles is the 7th Buckeye this season to be named an All-American. That ties a program record set back in 1974. Ohio State's got 13 days to prepare for the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Buckeyes will play the winner of Saturday's first-round game between Miami and Texas A&M. The college football playoff begins Friday in Norman. Oklahoma hosts Alabama at 8 o'clock. On the field last night, Old Dominion beat South Florida 24-10 in the Cure Bowl. In the NFL, Week 16 begins tonight in Seattle. The Seahawks host the Rams at 8:15. In the NBA last night, the Bulls beat the Cavs 127-111. Cleveland's 15-13 on the year. And on the ice tonight at Nationwide, the Blue Jackets host the Minnesota Wild. CBJ look to build off Tuesday's OT win over Ottawa. The faceoff there is 7 o'clock. You can hear Blue Jackets Wild tonight right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Reese is back. Bake is here. The whole gang back and better than ever. Your email at 10 o'clock. Mr. Feinbaum going to drop by at 10:30. We'll go over his picks for the college football first round of the playoffs. Let's be honest, just two games that are kind of any sort of sense of what's going to happen in them. The other two seem to be locks. Speaking of locks, we hope to provide locks in the NFL. We will do so as we attempt to beat the house in the 11 o'clock hour. I'll be honest with you. I did not have on the bingo card that the way I would start this show today would be based large part on things having to do with Athens, Ohio. I did not have that on the bingo card for December 18th of 2025. But it's twofold, and it goes to one of those things in sport of you just never know, much like in life, how things are going to shake out. Joe Burrow had a very odd press conference yesterday. It comes on the heels of really 10 days-ish of kind of odd behavior from Burrow. And talking to folks who have known Joe really well, and obviously we covered him as a high school player and covered him when he was here, I don't think he does anything without intent. I don't think he does anything without it with the intent of it landing on ears that it's intended to land for. And so some of his comments that he made are alarming if you're a Bengals fan. And probably if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably like, "You're right, Joe. You probably are sick of all of this." He was asked yesterday in a press conference if he could see himself playing for somebody other than Cincinnati last year. And he said, "No, I couldn't." I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "No, I couldn't." And then he said, could you the follow up, and in classic Burrow, and you guys know this because you cut up all the Burrow audio that we play through the year. What's the average answer, average length of a Burrow question? Answer, I mean.
3.5 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, he's good.
Doesn't expand much.
I mean, no, here was him if he could see himself not being the Bengals quarterback next year.
I can't see that, no.
And then the follow-up was, but could you see him? Do you have that one too?
Yeah, on Go not.
Ahead. You think about a lot of things.
So the question there was, could you see yourself playing for somebody other than the Bengals? And his answer was, you think about a lot of things. The way you answer that, if you're all in and if you're not trying to apply pressure on ownership is, of course not. I'm a Bengal for life. I'm an Ohioan. Like, that's how you answer that if you don't want to put up any sort of, if you don't want to hit shots across the bow. honestly. You just say, no, I'm a Bengal for life. That's it. But he is, and I think in some ways deservedly so, fed up with the losing, probably incredibly frustrated by the injuries that have happened, and looking ahead to an offseason and going, how can we get better? Now, the flip side of this is we had Ben Baby on yesterday, and he made a great point. He said, look, the Brown family has done everything that Joe Burrow has asked. They asked for him. He asked for them to re-sign Higgins and Chase. They did. They kept them all. They kept all three of them. They kept Trey Hendrickson. Now, for a year, not long term, but they kept him. And so what more do you want them to do? But it comes back to this idea of, in sports, sometimes you are just floored by something that happens. So people say to you, okay, well, how are you going to trade him? Can you trade him? Who knows? Who knows what how you do it with the cap? There's certain things you can do in terms of dead money and making it all work. The example I kept coming back to yesterday was the Matt Stafford Lions example of, you had a motivated team in the Los Angeles Rams who had reached a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but believed that Goff would prohibit them from actually winning the Super Bowl. That everything else on their roster was Super Bowl ready, and that the quarterback could get you there, but he wasn't good enough to get you over the top. And so in a stunning trade that kind of worked for both teams, the Los Angeles Rams traded Jared Goff and picks to the Lions for Stafford. Stafford wins a Super Bowl year one with the Rams. They might win it again this year. They got a massive game tonight. He may get an MVP by the time all of this is done. Goff and the picks that went back to Detroit have been part of the foundation of the best run in probably Lions history. I mean, they had the 1 year with Barry where they got to the NFC Championship and got absolutely bombed. But this is probably the longest sustained run of success the Lions have had in my lifetime. So you can say, well, how do you do it? Where does it go? How does the money work? But in sport, you just never know when people are motivated, what can get done. And I can give you a laundry list. There's all sorts of things that were shocking. You don't have to go back that far. There would have been, if you would have polled anybody who follows the NBA a couple of years ago, do you think that the Dallas Mavericks will trade Luka Doncic? The answer emphatically would have been no. But in the cover of night, he ends up a Laker. He ends up a Laker. Like, that happened. There's several others. It probably doesn't seem as shocking now as it was in the time, but in 2004, when Aaron Boone got hurt at third base for the Yankees, they went and acquired Alex Rodriguez, who, this was before the steroids, this was before all of it. He had just signed a 10-year, $252 million deal. I want to say he was only 2 or 3 years into that deal with Texas, and all of a sudden, the greatest shortstop of a generation is playing third base for the Yankees. How the hell does that happen? There's so many other ones. Probably the most famous one, in terms of utter shock, because you didn't know the full scope of it at the time that it happened, was when the Edmonton Oilers traded Wayne Gretzky to the LA Kings. Now, what none of us knew, I was a little kid at the time. Reese, you weren't even born, I don't think. But and Bake, I'm sure you have very little, if any, recollection of it. But what none of us knew at the time was that Peter Plonkington, who owned the Edmonton Oilers at that time, was flat broke. He was broke. The government of Canada tried to interject in the trade to stop it. That's what type of national emergency it was when they traded Wayne Gretzky from the Edmonton Oilers to the LA Kings. Like, all of that happened. It's one of the, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the best 30 for 30s you'll ever see. And Wayne Gretzky's wife, Janet Gretzky, took a lot. She was an actress at the time, took great in Police Academy, I want to say 4 or 5. But she took a lot of heat for saying that he wanted to, people believed that she wanted him in Los Angeles. Gretzky cried when it was announced that he was going to be traded to L.A. They won cups in Edmonton. And 2 years later, they won a cup in Edmonton without him, with Messier. So in sport, when you think the impossible can never happen, I would just say there's plenty of examples where it can. And I don't know how the Brown family could continue to operate the Cincinnati Bengals if they trade Joe Burrow. I don't know how their PR arm, and none of this is eminent, I'm sure of it, but I don't know how your PR arm would even go about, because inevitably you'd have to make Burrow be a villain somehow, and good luck with that in Cincinnati. But I do think that what Joe has said in his three availabilities over the last week plus, it's noteworthy. And it's been done on purpose. And to me, it should sound some alarm bells down in Cincinnati for what this offseason could bring.
It's the old, if there's smoke, there's fire type thing out there. And man, there's a lot of smoke all of a sudden. Bo, you said that they would have to somehow make Burrow the villain. I don't know if they would, because I've heard from a lot of Bengals fans, and I don't think this is the majority.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them out there that were like, they love Burrow so much that they're like, Dad, he's never going to win here, so trade him somewhere where he can win. And that almost seems crazy to think, but there's a lot of people out there that I've heard say that.
That would be one you'd have to put that on the poll. Like, if you're a Bengal fan, I mean, how would you phrase that? So essentially what they're saying is, I don't blame him.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you continue to operate the team if you trade him. I mean, I don't think I'm overstepping here. My perception is, and I certainly was not as familiar at the time, but getting to know him over the last decade or so, it feels to me like Joe Burrow is as popular in Cincinnati as Bernie Kosar was in Cleveland. That's what it feels like to me.
I think that's pretty correct.
Would you fault Joe Burrow for wanting to play for a contender before his career's up? Could you fault? Is the question I
wonder.
Is that
how you pose it? Yeah. From a Bengals fan perspective, the problem is we're going to get non-Bengals fans. But it would really be for Bengals fans specifically, right, Reese? Like, how can you...
Yeah.
I guess the best example of it that we have would be if at the end of LeBron's first tenure in Cleveland, and that team was not going to win it, and they kept hitting their head against the wall, and the counter would be, yeah, but he wouldn't commit, and all those other things. But, like, did LeBron have to leave for Cleveland to eventually win a title? And I think now we can say the answer to that is yes, because that's how you got the influx of talent. They were so mismanaged with the draft that there was no way, had he stayed in Cleveland, that they were going to win a title, as great as he was.
Bo, it's similar but not exact, because they obviously weren't as close to winning as the Bengals have been with Burrow, but it was almost like Rick Nash asking to be traded from Columbus in that trade, and obviously it hasn't worked out exactly how Columbus wanted, but it was kind of the trade that kickstarted the decade run that was the best run for the Blue Jackets. They got Dubinsky, they got Anisimov, they ended up getting Bob, not through that trade, but
right.
And it was almost the thing that kind of kickstarted the decade run that the Jackets had that culminated with Torts and the Tampa series.
Yeah, that's on a lower level, that's probably pretty fair. And then Nash got to the Cup final with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Rangers played they didn't win it, but they got to the Cup final with him.
Would you have considered Baker at the time Rick Nash was in his athletic prime?
Yeah.
Are we thinking the same thing about Joe Burrow, though?
I still do.
Yeah.
I still do. I still think when healthy, he's a top four quarterback in the league, for sure. But it's a fascinating one.
It's such a big if, though, too.
It is. It's fair. And the injuries are certainly part of it. But it is something to certainly pay attention to. I'm glad you're back, Reese, for a litany of reasons. But as an Ohio graduate, I want to ask you, what in the blue hell is going on down there? So we're going to get into that coming up next, and continue to monitor this Burrow stuff down in Cincinnati. Lots of college football on the program as well today, off and running on a Thursday edition, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Dread the cold.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.
weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
As we go into the day today, a mix of sun and clouds with more clouds later today and chances of rain developing this afternoon. Daytime highs soaring into the 50s, but with gusty winds. For tonight, rain chances especially as we go into the evening and overnight. Lows down into the 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right. Yesterday, this comes to light, finally comes to a head, I suppose. Ohio University fired head football coach Brian Smith for cause on Wednesday, saying Smith violated his contract by engaging in serious professional misconduct and participating in activities that reflect unfavorably on the university. Now, the university did not provide specifics on the misconduct. Smith, 8-4, his first season as the Bobcats head coach. We had him on. They beat WVU week one, Reese.
Yep.
And we had him on.
Before the Ohio State game.
Yeah. Smith's attorney, Rex Elliott, with this statement, we vigorously dispute Ohio University's grounds for the termination for cause of Coach Brian Smith. He is shocked and dismayed by this turn of events, and we plan to fight this wrongful termination to protect his good name. Coach Smith is an ethical man who has done an exemplary job for the university. He wants nothing but the best for the players, coaches, and the entire Bobcat community. Reese, what's the real truth?
Well, so as a lot of you probably know, when you're emotionally connected to a university or you cover a big-time college football program and you start to hear rumors, you hear everything from minor things to this, your head coach or this head coach planned to assassinate the president. So you hear all of those, you know, rumors, and none of it's really been alleged yet other than what The Athletic found via a public records request that he was reprimanded in November 24th, for having alcohol in the locker room. And the official...
It was his office, right?
It was his office after a game.
Yeah.
What they're alleging is a toast of bourbon with some of the coaches. Now, the rumors that are out there are of infidelity. And what is out there is a divorce that's been made public, and he sold his house. Now, that certainly, if the infidelity rumors would fly in the face of him, you know, coming on this very show and talking about family and how important that is. And so you would certainly not want the coach that represents something you love to be engaged in stuff that flies against what he portrays outwardly. So disappointing if those rumors turn out to be the case. If it's the alcohol and providing the alcohol to coaches or staffers or even players that are of drinking age, I don't think that's cause enough. So there's got to be more to this for them to come out with that kind of a statement. Because if they what his lawyer is saying, what Brian Smith's lawyer is saying, is there's nothing to see. This is wrong. My client's being done dirty. Mm-hmm. He's an ethical man. Then they fired him without cause, and they owe him $2.5 million. And Ohio Athletics doesn't have just $2.5 million laying around. They can do this.
It can't just be for the alcohol.
It can't, right.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, like, you can't have a bottle in... I mean, he's a grown man. You can't have a bottle in your... It'd be one thing if he was coaching Upper Arlington High School, right? I mean, that would be different. Like, he's coaching on a college campus. And so, like, if he had a bottle in his desk and wants to have a sip and toast to victory, now, you can't be on the sidelines hammered, and you can't be doing those type of activities. But in terms of just like having a bottle and, hey boys, great job. Here's to you. Here's to me. Great win, whatever. I mean, that can't be it. This has been such a weird story though, because he was suspended for cause for what? Like a month?
Yeah. This was December 1st. I think we came on the air December 2nd and had less information, just as many questions December 2nd as we do now. I mean, nothing that was done yesterday has really explained anything. It's provided a little bit more context, maybe a little bit more, but I'd figured, you know, if the athletic director removes him from campus, that's probably it. And that looks, obviously with yesterday's news, that is the case. It's done. And so John Hauser is going to lead the Bobcats. In the Frisco Bowl next Tuesday, I believe that game is. And then they're going to be looking for their third head coach in as many years. So that stinks. But the idea that they fired him, and now, as vague as the statement was,
right,
was what really concerned me yesterday. Because if you have all of this information, enough to terminate him for cause, mm-hmm. tell people. Put that in the statement as well. But to just say what they did and then to give no other context and then have The Athletic and the ESPN had other reporting that backed up what they had found for a public records request still isn't enough to go off of firing a football coach.
It sure seems like there's something much, much bigger here.
Yes.
And maybe they can't say anything because of pending litigation.
Oh, they're going to court. Yeah.
But even not that, like not litigation with him. I'm just saying maybe there's something bigger in the legal system coming here with Coach Smith. So it sure seems like there's something bigger, or this is just a new AD that wants to get his guy, and they're trying to find every loophole they can to not pay him.
It feels to me like it's the former more than the latter.
Yeah, I think that the new athletic director of Ohio, I think and really hope that this is the case. He's doing what he believes in the best interest of Ohio University and the athletic program. That is his job.
You know, with all this stuff, and I mean, some of this, and who knows about, I mean, the Smiths, it's all rumor and innuendo on the Smith stuff, aside from what the Athletic found in terms of, you know, having the bottle in his desk and toasting with coaches. And to me, that's no chance. That's a fireable offense. Good luck with that. I think you'd lose in a court of law on that. The other one, the rumors that are out there, is it's hard for, I don't want to give too much credit to those until there's something a little bit more concrete on that, but certainly you hear those things. But in light of what happened at Michigan and the way that that all kind of unfurled over the course of the last week and them trying to dig out of all of that, I couldn't help but wonder, like before social media, before camera phones and smartphones, and before there was all this accounting for everything, what was going on? Like, how much was happening?
Oh, man.
Thank goodness we didn't grow up in this era.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it is a point now where this is, and I tell this to my boys all the time, like, if you do bad, it will come to light. You are not, and rightfully so, by the way. Rightfully so. You're misbehaving, you will be found out. There is no getting away with anything anymore, which is a wonderful thing. And I think at times it really sheds poorly light on the institutions. I mean, you think of this stuff that's still trickling out at Michigan and how long they knew and where the cover-up began. I mean, this just keeps going further and deeper and deeper. I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily anything in the vicinity of that happened at Ohio. But the idea that they acted the way they did as quickly as they did in the middle of a year and said, just go away. You can't help but connect some dots and say it feels inevitable that a lot more was going on behind the scenes. He wasn't even there that long. It was just one. What was he, the interim?
Yeah, he was the interim this time last year.
Yeah.
And so they'd won the MAC championship. Tim Albin takes the Charlotte job. And here's Brian Smith. And sometime during the season, so that Ohio's new athletic director gets there in September, and sometime between September and November, he signs a new contract that put him there through 2030.
Yeah.
So that's where I look to, if there was anything about this that had come to light before the new contract was signed, boy, you put yourself in a real tough spot knowing what the buyout is for the contract, and especially with the actions done in early December, sending him home, and then yesterday's statement, it's like, all right, you've got to have something concrete. But tell us what that is, right?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that you just shed light on there for the folks, because we're usually talking about the Ohio State University, and we're talking about football at the very highest level, and we watch as nobody bats an eye at paying a $75 million buyout or a $54 million buyout. At this level, $2.5 million is a lot of money.
It's for those schools, it's crippling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a totally different sport, and yet they're all competing for the same championship. Speaking of competing for championships, the Buckeyes will do so over the course of the month of January. They will do so armed with perhaps the most decorated roster they've ever had. And I understand that's saying a lot. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. Ohio State now with 7 first-team All-Americans. The Buckeyes tied the program record for most first-team All-Americans in one season. Sonny Styles joins Carson Hinsman, Caden Curry, Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Caden McDonald, Jeremiah Smith as first-team All-American. Sonny was named a first-team All-American by the Sporting News. Very, very cool honor. That means a tree in Buckeye Grove and all that comes with all of that. It's been such a fun last couple of weeks on that side of things. And it's awesome to see these guys kind of all recognized in this way. There was a piece though that I wanted to bring to attention from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. And it's not very often that we can play the disrespected card around here. When you're King Kong, you can't really be disrespected. And yet you might be able to do it this year. So Feldman went and polled, anonymously, a bunch of coaches in the Power Four and got them off the record commenting on various things in the college football playoff. So the first question he asked was, which team will win it all? It might surprise some of you that Ohio State was not the number one pick to win it all. In fact, the number one pick to win it all wasn't in the Big Ten. It was Georgia. Now, Ohio State was second. Georgia had 50% of the vote. Ohio State finished with 42% of the vote. And then Indiana and Oregon both had 4%. I think if you went to anybody and you can say you can have those four of the field, you're going to take those four in a landslide. But there's some interesting comments on here. This is from a Group of Five head coach. I don't think there's any team that is just great this year or as good as Alabama or Georgia when they won it, or even as good as Ohio State last year. Georgia's O-line has matured, so that team has taken a jump. The quarterback is a winner. Defensively, Georgia can play big and can match up. They're really good, and they're battle-tested. There was a Big Ten assistant coach who picked Ohio State. Georgia seems flawed. I know Indiana just beat them, but I don't think they can beat them twice. Ohio State was pretty banged up in that game. Those wideouts will be healthy on defense. Ohio State is really sound with great players. Their red zone defense is unbelievable. That was from a Big Ten coach. Here's another question. Who do you think is the biggest fraud in the field? The number one vote getter there was Ole Miss at 29%. Texas Tech and Alabama shared it at 17 for the number two choice on that. Which is a little surprise. I don't think Texas Tech's a fraud in any way.
No.
I was surprised Texas A&M is nowhere on that list.
No.
That surprises me.
Yeah. No, they're not. That's a good point out of you. No lack of love for Texas A&M, which is the biggest sleeper team in the field. Miami gets that one with 21%. Oregon is second with 17%. Oklahoma 17%. Then Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, all 13% of the vote on that. Obviously, when you're the 1, 2, or 3 seed, you can't be a sleeper. So that explains that one a little bit. A couple others that were interesting. Is there a path for a Group of Five team to win a game this year? 88% says no. 12% said yes. There's a great line here about only if the bus doesn't show up. The only shot is if someone's bus breaks down, from an ACC offensive analyst. I don't know about Tulane at Ole Miss. I know they hammered them the last time, but Ole Miss is straight chaos.
That'd be the only one, right?
Yes.
If Ole Miss just, to the point that the ACC assistant made, like if they just no showed the game.
Yeah.
If
they got a big time quarterback, Retzlaff can play.
If those two games are blowouts, like we think they are going to be, and the odds makers have 17.5 and 21, those are blowouts in this thing. And I know you had talked about before you needed the votes So that's why the conference group of five was put in there.
Yeah.
But if these two teams both get blown out, do we see changes when they expand this thing that they're out?
It's always going to come back to an antitrust litigation bake. So they don't want to be in court any more than they already are. The first, as you were, I knew where you were going with that as you started asking the question. The first thing I thought is the one path for the, is it group of six now? I don't even know how many there are. Whatever it is, the mid-majors. The one path to eliminate mid-majors from this, from the dance party altogether, to me, the straightest path and one that's a win for them that wouldn't lead to litigation against you would be if they played for their own title. I think that would be the path. And you'd have to ask if you're Tulane, James Madison, Boise State, if you're one of those places, what do you prefer? The one in a million shot that you could pull the upset or a chance to go compete for a championship with like universities? I mean, you just heard Reese talk about $2.5 million on a buyout at Ohio being something that's hard to cobble together. I mean, Ohio State might have 10 guys on their roster making more than $2.5 million, and they're competing for the same title.
And look, if they're one of legit, like I think Boise State was, if they're legit one of the top 12 teams, I'm all for mm-hmm. it. But that's what we want in this thing. I don't want participation trophies in this thing. I just want the 12. If we're going to 12, I want the 12 best.
Well, right. And the other problem was the ACC screwed the thing up, and that's why James Madison's in there.
Yeah, I mean, 7-5 teams, your conference champion.
Yeah, they're bozos. Yeah. Like, they should have just overridden the tiebreaker and put Miami in the ACC title game against Virginia. Winners in, losers out. Problem solved. But somehow ACC has SMU and Stanford and Cal and a bunch of league that doesn't make any damn sense. And so their tiebreakers don't make sense. And they should, if they just went by the college football playoff rankings or the AP rankings for the tiebreaker, then you would have been fine. You would have only had Tulane in, right? You would have had Notre Dame, who could have won this thing. I really believe it. I think Notre Dame could have won this thing. You had a Notre Dame in, and you would have had Miami in, both with Alabama. James Madison's out, but the ACC screwed that thing up. But to me, yeah, I don't know how you're going to avoid the litigation unless you give them something else to play for that has value.
You have to. You have to present them with the playoff, and they have to agree to take it. And somehow you're going to have to cobble. I mean, maybe this is where the Saudis come in, and they can sponsor the group of five thing.
Oh, I don't even know if you'd have to go to the Saudis.
I kid, but you've got to have the money for them to land first.
Right. So what you really need is a home for their games. That's what you need. And you need somebody to pay to broadcast those games. And if you have that, then you have a path out of it. And then you can get, then you can play for something. Reese, did I do the Montana State thing yesterday, Beck? Or was that Tuesday?
I think that was Tuesday because I was not here for that. I did hear about it, but I was not here for that.
The tickets to get in?
Yeah, you were here, Reese. It was Tuesday I did it. Go try to get a ticket for that game.
It's still like $600.
Yeah, for Montana State. They pack their houses full out every game, sold out, massive booster. They're doing incredible things in terms of stadium expansions, athletic department expansions. Like, would they have that same thing if they were in the Mountain West?
I mean, football
and bottom dwellers,
regional football with stakes.
Yeah, it works.
This really works. This is going to be a dumb comparison because TNT doesn't have nearly the reach that ABC does. But I'm interested to see just how much Cat Grizz does better than the Tulane Ole Miss football game and the James Madison Oregon CFP game. Because it will do better, I think, because of ABC versus TNT.
Oh, that's right. It's on. Is it on ABC National or is it on ESPN?
ABC National for Brawl of the Wild Pardew.
Jeez. I mean, that's never happened. That's crazy.
That game will follow Miami, Texas A&M. So not only is it a great game, it's got stakes and it's got a wonderful lead-in.
Yeah, it'll do a nice number. That's a good job out of you. That's a good point. They'll be the most people who've ever watched. It's amazing. couple others out of this. Who do you think will pull an upset? Miami was the overwhelming winner there over Texas A&M. I think that's going to be the most obviously we play the winner, so that one's got a lot of juice to it. This one I found interesting. Which team would you least like to play? Georgia getting 46%. What do people see in Georgia that I don't?
The G on the helmet?
I guess.
Because it's right? Indiana for me. I mean, you saw it.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let's go back to the upset.
Yeah.
They have Oklahoma at 13%.
Mm-hmm.
Is Oklahoma the 9? I thought they were the 8 and Alabama's the 9.
Bama's favored.
I mean, Oklahoma already beat them.
They beat them twice the last two times they played.
It is interesting.
They kept them out of the playoff last year.
Like, how is that an upset? I get the odds.
When this was put to coaches, coordinators, analysts, and staff, Alabama was probably the favorite. I'm looking at ESPN right now, and the Sooners are favored by 1.5.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's a pick 'em.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. That's a good question. What are we doing?
Making playoff content. That's all this is.
So we're going to get into this coming up next. And I'm going to pose this question to you guys. How many teams have a legitimate shot at actually winning this thing? And you may be surprised who this panel thought was the best coach in the bunch. We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Mara, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
It's the year end.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bone and Tyvus are part of a balanced breakfast. Wake up with two dopes talking about football, and one of them laughs uncomfortably loud. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Weekday mornings at 6 on The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, that anonymous survey Bruce Feldman put up with The Athletic. Couple other things. How many teams actually have a legitimate shot at being champions? The answer was 3. Without thinking about it, what do you guys say?
Let's go 4.
I want to say 4. I'm going to extend it to 5 just because I'm not sure about Texas Tech. I think they could be good enough.
So Georgia and the 3 Big Tens?
Correct.
I was going to say Tech and the 3 Big Tens.
So no Georgia for you.
I think the quarterback play is just too hit and miss.
I think it might. Certainly the 3 Big Tens. I feel like Georgia can. I think Tech's there. I think I'm at 5. Could I see a scenario like if Miami was quarterbacked by somebody other than Carson Beck? Unfortunately, they aren't.
Mario Cristobal's their head coach.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a great many blunders by him to keep the Canes from going to the playoffs. Yeah, I think just because I've seen it so much from Georgia, I probably should add them in as well.
I think Georgia's defense and their athletic ability on defense can keep them in any game to where even if their offense isn't performing great, they're still going to be within a score and any game can turn then. So that's why I would say Georgia.
Somebody makes a good point on this, one of the anonymous coaches, that Georgia can beat you in several ways, and we've seen that this year. I mean, they beat Ole Miss at a shootout. They can also win like 13-7. Like, they can win in a variety of ways. And we know their talent. I mean, I think that's the thing that you keep coming back to, talent, talent, talent. It certainly equates. So if you go the 3 Big Tens, Texas Tech and Georgia, I'm very curious to see how Texas Tech – their first game will be Oregon, right?
Correct. That's the first.
Yes. That game's in Miami. Because, of course, I think that's the Orange Bowl. That'll be an attention getter for me. I saw that list that ESPN put out yesterday of the top 50 players in college football, and they had two. I mean, Jacob Rodriguez speaks for itself. They had two Texas Tech linebackers in the top five of that. So them against Oregon is going to be a massively fascinating game. But I think you're right. I think it is. I think it's five is where I'm at. Honestly, the one I'm most curious about is Texas Tech, just because I think BYU's really good. They handled him twice. Their only losses to Arizona State without Morton, and that's it. And they steamrolled everybody else. But they don't have on their resume going up against a Texas or a Indiana or an Oregon or, like, certainly Georgia's schedule. So that's the only thing that's a little tricky, but I think it all travels for them. The question is, can you accomplish something that great in kind of your first year on the stage? That's a challenge, to never be in the stage before and then all of a sudden win three games to win a national championship. And I think that comes down to culture and coaching and all of those things. When talent equates, like, familiarity is a big part of it, which leads me to this. Who do you think is the best coach in the playoff? 50% said Kirby Smart. The number two choice was Kirk Cignetti. Lanning had 8%. Joey McGuire had 4%. Ryan Day, the defending national champion, nothing. So if you want to have the nobody respects us card, there you go, kids. It's there for you. This guy's got a higher winning percentage than Newt Rockne.
That's such a weird spot, right? Like, Kirby, I get. Cignetti is great, obviously, from what he's done, but the guy that just won it maybe should get a little bit more love over the guy that's never been there and the guy that nobody knew who he was until the start of the season. At the very earliest, most college football fans were introduced to Joey McGuire because of what was being done with Cody Campbell.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, being done by Cody Campbell.
Sure.
For that school.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to ask all these anonymous sources.
Yeah.
If you
These
could,
are group of five
if,
head coaches.
If you I mean, could have any head coach running your program, who would it be? And if that answer would change at all.
Yeah, I think I'm the Smart and Cignetti things I get. The Lanning thing is wild to me, that Lanning would have more, more backing, 8% of the vote with Lanning over Ryan. But I do think that this is something, fair or not, that Ryan, even with all of his success, has to beat back, is this perception that he inherited all of this. And it's not reality at all. It's not. He's elevated a lot of it. And yes, they had the infrastructure guys were in place with the best in the business and Mark Pantoni and the best in the business with Mickey Marotti and the best in the business with Voltellini, all those guys. Like, they had all of those guys in place. But then he's molded it into what it is now. And I think sometimes he doesn't get enough credit for that, which is pretty strange because he's been here a long time now.
And I understand if somebody wants to say that, but Dan Lanning's first head coaching job is at Oregon.
Right.
Like, Kirby Smart, his first head coaching job is Georgia, correct?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what, Mark Richt did not leave the cupboard bare at Georgia.
Yeah.
Kirby elevated it.
Like, the only one that jumped up the head coaching chain here that I know of is Kurt Cignetti.
Right.
You know, the rest of these guys were coordinators and got hired on. So what's the difference if it's at the school he was at or not?
Great question. Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a little disrespect card that can be played there if you want. And certainly the thing, my takeaway from this is that folks around the country are sleeping on the Buckeyes a little bit because of what happened in the Indiana game. Because I think if you do this survey after Michigan, the answers are dramatically different. And I still think that what I've been saying all along, that the ceiling for this operation is still the highest, and the talent level is the highest, and all of that is going to play out. One other thing I wanted to get to here. I saw yesterday the Columbus Aviators named Ted Ginn Jr. Their head coach for their first season. So are they doing a presser for this?
I think he spoke a little bit yesterday, but I don't know if there was like an official press conference.
Yeah, I heard a statement.
Yeah.
He needs to do a car wash. He needs to come to. He needs to be on every one of these shows. Mm-hmm. He needs to be on the local television stations. He needs to do, like...
We're efforting this show, at least. I know that much.
You shouldn't even have to effort. That should be offered. That should be offered. Do you want to talk to Ted Ginn? We would have had him on. Like, make him available. Like, let's go. Like, that's the way you do these things. If you're going to announce that, then the same day you announce it, or the day after you announce it, he should be on every one of our shows all day long. That's what he should be. He should be on the three local television shows. He should be, everybody who's on the Ohio State beat would be at his press conference. Come on. Like, you want to, it's okay, we're going to do the Buckeye thing. Okay, but do better here.
And we're, what, 2 months away?
Dude, it's coming quick.
From kick? It's the end of February, I believe.
Yeah.
Need to start ramping up support here.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a tough sell. Like, February games at Old Crew Stadium is going to be a tough sell. So get out, and you're going to have to sell some things a little bit here. Second hour of the program, Paul Feinbaum coming up at 10:30. We will open up the mailbag next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
It's the year-end sales event.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Look, Holiday Hoopla is a basketball festival featuring over 60 boys and girls high school teams, over 100 middle school and youth games playing on 6 courts December 20th through the 22nd at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. For game times and tickets, visit HolidayHooplaOhio.com.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Blue Jackets put a halt to a 5-game slide on Tuesday, beating the Ottawa Senators in overtime. Jackets will go for their second win in a row on home ice tonight, hosting the Minnesota Wild. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. In the NFL, Week 16 begins Thursday in Seattle. The Seahawks host the Rams at 8:15. Both teams are 11-3. Winner takes pole position in the NFC West and likely the top seed in the playoffs. In other news, the Chicago Bears say Indiana is in play for a new stadium. Plans for a stadium in a Chicago suburb have stalled. The Bears can break their lease with Soldier Field as early as 2026. It would cost more than $80 million to do so. And in college hoops, Ohio State heads to Atlanta on Saturday to battle number 14 North Carolina at 3 p.m. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 2 o'clock. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan for details.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday edition of the program. At this time, every week, we open up that mailbag. Go ahead, boys.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up the life.
Now, I did, just for full transparency, I did get an update from Top Men, and efforts are being made so that if you go... Still no.
Still efforting?
Still efforting.
Guys.
Efforts are being made that if you go through the website and email, that we can eventually see those. But we're going on about a month without that. So the emails that we're getting are folks who are just emailing me directly at bo.bishop@tegna.com or at radioohio.com. Either one gets to me. But that's what we're getting now. So I still can't see the ones that go through the website. And I know there's hundreds of them back there, but we're not able to see those right now as it stands. But efforting. So it's been quite the effort. It's been quite the effort to get this done, so hopefully we'll get it done. But we do have a good bag here, so let's start with this one. A lot on the Michigan scandal. Let's start with this one from Doug. Bo, is there currently a dirtier football program in the NCAA than Michigan the last 3 to 5 years? An athletic department in more chaos? Better them than us? No. No, I don't think that there is. And I think this is why Ward Manuel's going to be gone, too. I mean, several leads about Michigan. So we'll have a bigger conversation about Michigan football here at the end of all of this. This one from Andy. Is now finally enough to bring lack of institutional control? Sheesh. Happy holidays. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate that. This one from Nick. Gentleman Reflog just posted a picture of Sharon Moore saying this Sharon Moore story is insane. Then he reposted something, quote tweeting that the Netflix doc is going to be crazy. Reading that just hit me. In order to rehab his image, granted it'll take time, but he could roll on Michigan and reveal everything about Connor Stallions. I mean, we all know it, but nobody was ever confessed to it. Thoughts? If you are a power broker up there, how would you begin to fix this and clean it? That to me, if you're on that board of regents, I see no scenario where it's anything other than a complete house cleaning. I think it's going to have to be a complete divorce of anything related to Harbaugh, anything related to the Harbaugh regime. And I think it's going to be one of those things that, from their perspective, is viewed differently than the way it's viewed everywhere else in the country. That in Ann Arbor, for Michigan fans, they will revel in the winning streak against Ohio State. They will revel in that national championship. But everywhere else in the country, it will have asterisks, and it'll be it's going to be viewed in an entirely different way. And to me, short of cleaning house with everybody, I don't know how you accomplish that. And I'm curious, like, if you're Desmond Howard or Charles Woodson or Tom Brady or anybody who's a prominent, quote, Michigan man, how do you want this to go?
Away.
Sure.
You want it how? To go. They live in such a different reality, the Michigan man.
Do you think they still do, though, Reese, or do you think this hits home, finally? I mean, do you think this is like, okay.
This might be a crack in the facade for them, but I think once they get a new head coach, then it maybe stiffens back up a little bit. Certainly, it would have to. I don't know what Ward Manuel's still doing there. So that's where I hesitate on all of this. Because Ward Manuel's still got a job, and he should not.
You think they're trying to fire? They're trying to find more so they can fire him for cause?
Probably. I'm guessing so. That's my guess. That's what I was going
to
say.
Trying to prove he knew. You remember when I asked this to John Ubacon? Or no, it was Angelique. I asked, when did they know what they knew? Like, so that's what I think the independent investigation is about, Bake. It's about, when did Ward Manuel know what he knew?
Well, and it sounds like at least 18 months.
I guess you have to wait for that to officially come out. So you have to let that process take its time, however long John, you called it like the white shoe law firm, come in and do their full report and give the findings, and then you act off of those findings.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, you don't have a whole lot of time between now and January 2nd.
Well, that brings up the next part of it, which is the reality of how is this anything other than them punting on next season? I don't see how they could field a competitive team. I mean, who could you hire that could keep all of it together? That whole roster is going to be poached, and it's a good roster.
It's really
including
good
an $11 million quarterback. Like, that's all going to be poached January 2nd. And then once they hire a coach, it's 15 days added on to that for the recruiting class.
I think I wonder how in-depth this supposal internal investigation goes up there and what all they find, if that'll be like, okay, we've just got to scrub all of this. We've got to get rid of everyone. We've got to bring all new mm-hmm. in, and we've got to start over fresh here with this thing. But as you mentioned, you've got to do that pretty quickly because you've got to get a head coach. Because I can't believe a head coach, and I do think that most head coaches still believe that's a premier job, and they think that they can turn it around and fix it. But I don't know if they want to go there if more things are coming. They're going to want to know.
Aren't they still playing Texas on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Biff Pogi.
Biff Pogi and the
yeah.
boys.
Just elevate him then. You know what?
Sleeves off.
It's crazy. It truly is. There is still, and I saw Heather Dinich talking about this, there is still belief that they're getting DeBoer. If they somehow come out of this with Kalen DeBoer coaching Michigan, I just, common sense wise, I can't see it. Like, how could it be so bad at Bama? You've got the number two quarterback recruit in the country last year who's waiting in the wings to take over for Ty Simpson, a guy you recruited. You have back to back top five recruiting classes in the country at Alabama. Now, I'm sure that their roster is going to be poached too. I'm sure of that. That there will be, and I think that's just the sport right now. I'm sure every good player in the country is being called and trying to be recruited, so you have to fend that off. But that's not changing at Michigan. So you just your wife's from Ypsilanti, and you want to try and resurrect this. I guess what it would do is it would probably buy you a great deal of grace that you don't have in Alabama, a long grace period to like right the ship. But I can't think of anybody other than him who I would be like, God, you lucky. Maybe Drinkwitz. It's a really short list, though.
Even with all of the mess at Michigan, I still think it's an easier job for Kalen DeBoer to try to revitalize that program than to follow Nick Saban at Alabama.
No pressure.
That's fair.
So it's... Saturday is going to be interesting, I think, from that standpoint, because you're going to try to play football games, have meaningful football games played, all while with what happens in Norman Friday night could have ramifications greater than just that game itself. Because if they get crushed and his seat all of a sudden goes from a 2 to an 11.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Alabama will get crushed, but if they lose even, it's still.
But who do they think down there is going to replace him?
Oh, no, Nick Saban will replace.
Oh, he's gonna, sure. Saban's going to come back. Sturdy the ship.
ESPN's college football landing page has Nick Saban on it and said how Nick Saban's fingerprints are all over the CFP. And it's like, come on.
I don't think the ink on Kiffin's contract is dry yet at Tennessee. You can scrub that off, right? If Legend Bay can do it, Kiffin can do it.
I think LSU's the better job now with when you consider the financial ramifications of the LSU job, the fact that you have that state to yourself, you're not battling. I mean, Auburn does win some head-to-heads with Alabama. Like LSU, you have it to yourself. And Baton Rouge is a much bigger city than Tuscaloosa. But, I mean, I think all of those things are going to be fascinating. And this is one, too, that you think about. Like, we've used the Danny Ocean example a lot, that that Jim Harbaugh got away from it all. But the rest of his co-conspirators all went down. They all went down. And for him, it doesn't matter because he's in the NFL and he's living his best life. But for the rest of them, what was it, 11 different coaches, a combination of either in jail or show causes?
Yeah.
I mean, or arrested or show causes? 11.
Did you
and this
see-
thing could just be in ruins.
Harbaugh and Dan Patrick yesterday, and he was asked about Jerome Moore, and he couldn't keep a straight answer, like in 45 seconds Mm-mm. of questioning, like he could not help, like just lies.
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say? He made the mess. He made the mess, and who knows where it goes from there. A couple of the good ones, including one that I hadn't considered in regard to some comments we were making. We did the Christmas movie Higher Lower yesterday. A really difficult choice. I'm curious where you guys will go on that. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
This is 100%.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
Payne has a...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
As we go into the afternoon, wild, warm winds will help those temperatures get into the mid to low 50s for central Ohio. A mix of sun and clouds early with chances of rain developing a little bit in the afternoon and early evening, but the biggest, heaviest will be overnight into the early morning hours on Friday. Switching into some snow showers for Friday morning. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
1, 2, 3! Here at The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Still thinking about maybe something special? Go check them out. They will take care of you. Tell them Bo sent you, Easton Sawmill. Still time before the big holiday next week. I heard in the weather update there about the wind yesterday, and this is where I'm at with my dad. Like, the things that he's most interested to tell me is the weather. That's really 82% of our conversations are about how the weather is here and how the weather is there. And inevitably, it'll start with a question about the boys, and then within a couple of minutes, it turns into pretty cold here. So I was talked to him yesterday, 90-mile-an-hour wind, not gusts. 90-mile-an-hour wind on the west side of the mountains, which is unheard of. On the east side of the mountains, that happens. Not often, but it does happen. But on the west side of the mountains, there was in Missoula, there were 90-mile-an-hour winds.
That's crazy, dude.
It's nuts. So I was looking at some of the images from around the state. Multiple instances. I'm talking in the dozens of semi trucks blown over while driving. Like, blown over. Like, the wind hit them and blew them and shut down freeways, interstates. There was one, I saw an image of one that had, the truck was pulled over to a guardrail, and they chained it. The driver chained it to the guardrail to keep it from blowing over. Now, in case you don't know, a semi-truck is quite heavy.
What kind of chain?
Yeah.
A thick one.
It was all chained up next to the guardrail to keep it from blowing over. But there's dozens of, if you Google it, you'll see, like, the Montana winds. Like, there were semi-trucks all over the state blown over.
That must be what happens at 70 and 270 on the west side all the time, because there's always semis flipped over around that curve. Must be what it is, the wind right there. It's really tough on those things.
Just in that one part.
But is this what we have to look forward to when we're older? Because I feel like my grandma, when I was growing up, only called us if the weather was going to be bad or if milk was on sale at Kroger. That was it. That's the list. Is that going to be us in 20 years?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what you get is like, well, what do we have in common? Nothing. Milk and weather. It's all we got. It's where it is.
Ribeye's under $10 a pound. You better go.
Go get them. Go get them as fast as you can. Oh, by the way, speaking of get them as fast as you can, I know there's not much of the whiskey war left that we did. I've had several people who have said that they've went to various places around the area and that they've sold out. So that is really cool. I still think there might be some at High Bank, but I think that it's going quite quickly.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, very much, which is really cool. So thank you for your support on all of that. A couple more on the email front. Let's start with this one from Josh. But last week was a good week for your Uncle Bo in regard to paying off the bet with my son. Josh writes, when it comes time to pay on your $1,000 bet with your son, you should probably do it with a savings bond. While you will still have a hard time stomaching the idea of shelling out $500 for the bond, you'll have the ultimate satisfaction of knowing your son will have to wait 20 years to see the $1,000. Okay, so he doesn't know this, and he's in school today, but I am not giving him $1,000. Now, he won the bet, and you have to pay up. If he wins the bet and the Carolina Panthers make the playoffs, I will give him $1,000, but I will invest the $1,000. I am not giving that punk $1,000 in cash to go spend on God knows what nonsense, cologne and sneakers or whatnot. That ain't happening. So, like, he doesn't know that part of it. So even if Carolina gets in, he's not seeing the cold, hard cash of it. I might let him touch one $100 bill, but other than that, it's invested. We're not doing that. So in the words of Eddie from Christmas Vacation, it's the gift that keeps on giving all year round. That's going to be his $1,000. It's going to be a more long-term play on that side of things. Dan, and thank you very much for the kind words about the show. Really much appreciate that. So thank you on that side of things. This one was interesting. This is a tough one. Barry asked, after some pleasantries about the show, you mentioned that Four Christmases has passed Love Actually as your favorite adult Christmas movie, which it did. This year it happened. And I don't know if just Four Christmases is on all the time. I think that's probably it. And it's much more accessible. It's shorter. Love Actually is really long. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. I've seen it a million times. You can cut out 30 minutes of it in your sleep if you want to. But I still think it's great. He continues, got me thinking. Three actors who made their name in adult comedies also made iconic Christmas movies. Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell and Elf, Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation. You can only pick one actor's library. Whose do you take? Vaughn, Ferrell, Chase. I don't think Chase is going to be in there because there's not as much and it's a long time ago. But Ferrell Vaughn is a little bit like picking between my kids. That's a toughie. Now, there's crossover. But like what I would say is, I think if the rules of this are trying to choose between Ferrell or Vaughn, I think the crossover stuff would be like Wedding Crashers is a Vince Vaughn vehicle. Anchorman is a Will Ferrell vehicle, even though Vaughn's in it and even though Ferrell's in it with the cameo at the end.
I'm going to go Vaughn.
Vaughn?
Yeah. This isn't close to me. It's Vaughn, easy? Vaughn all day to me.
No stepbrothers.
That's okay.
I'm okay with that. I get Wedding Crashers.
You get Wedding Crashers?
You get Old School?
What do we do with that? We're like Newman. We cut the bike in half.
They're kind of both. Seinfeld. They're kind of both.
They're co-leads. Yeah. I don't. What do you do with Old School? Is that a Ferrell or a Vaughn?
I would say it counts for both.
I think it's. I guess if I was forced into action, I would say it feels like more of a Ferrell. It's crazy. It's actually like a Luke Wilson.
It's
vehicle.
Luke Wilson's the main. But if
you're getting the catalog right, you get that movie anyway.
Yes.
So yeah, but there should be taking Vaughn.
Right, but I guess my point was, because I knew this was probably going to come down to a Wedding Crashers versus Anchorman / Step Brothers. It's really a Wedding Crashers Step Brothers conversation.
See,
I prefer Wedding Crashers to Step Brothers, and I've said before, and I'll stand by it forever. I think from Crab Cakes and Football to The Painting Was a Gift, it's like a little more than an hour. It's like 70 minutes of runtime. I think it's the funniest hour that's ever been put on film. It's just one thing after another. So I would probably, I think I'm going Vaughn too, but Step Brothers is pretty great.
It is.
To me, it's Wedding Crashers and Anchorman. That's what it would come down to. And I'm taking Wedding Crashers all day.
Yeah, I think if you choose Ferrell, or Vaughn, you get Old School. Anchorman, obviously Ferrell, but yeah, it was pretty easy to just choose Vaughn. Because even
and the other thing,
because you get Swingers.
Swingers.
Well, Swingers is, I mean, that's probably the most influential movie of my college career. Swingers.
I'm also a big fan of The Intern.
Is that Owen Wilson?
Yeah, their Google. They're at Google. That's a great movie with Wilson and Vaughn.
Yeah. The General Robert Montgomery Carpenter weighing in. Don't forget about Four Christmases. That's what got it started, was me pivoting to Four Christmases as my favorite adult Christmas movie now. Like, it had been Love Actually for the longest time, and it's pivoted to Four Christmases, which is unbelievable. Swingers. Dude, you got to remember, like, I'm so old, and I don't even know if, like, the kids know what Swingers is, but I'm so old that when that was an indie flick. There was one copy of it at Blockbuster. I found out about it because when I was like a freshman or sophomore in college, I started getting Esquire magazine and they wrote about it. And so I promise you, I was the only one on campus who had ever seen it or heard of it. And then I watched it, and this will come as very little surprise to much of the audience. I just parroted all of the Vince Vaughn lines and acted like they were my own. That's all I did. I was dropping "You're So Money, Baby," all that stuff. Now, a couple years later, it got a little awkward when everybody had seen it. Like, well, dude, your whole act, you stole it. Fair. Maybe I did. Worked for a little bit. I'm probably going Vaughn, too. I think Vaughn is the winner. And I think the other thing with the Vaughn part of it is, if you have to pick one of them as a futures bet, what's Ferrell done recently? It's been a minute. Like, he had that breakup with Adam McKay over the Lakers doc because he wanted to play Jerry Buss. And so you don't see him much anymore. It feels like Vaughn's still in the mix.
I'm just trying to look at what was the last actual movie that Ferrell did. He's in Despicable Me 4, a movie called You're Cordially Invited. But that just was direct to Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm comfortable with Vaughn.
Yeah,
I think it's Vaughn. I do love Chevy Chase. Love me some Chevy Chase. But he's been off the grid for quite a while. I think Vaughn's a winner of that. But great question, Barry. Greatly appreciate it. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, man, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs,
contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Well, buddy, we got a big one. A couple big ones this weekend. Before we get to the games and the playoff and the Heisman and all those other things, though, I did want to start with the chaos to our direct north here in Columbus, up in Ann Arbor. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I was talking to folks up there who I trust. And every time that we start getting into how are you cleaning this up, they keep mentioning Kalen DeBoer. Is that real?
So this is when it comes down to exactly who do you believe. And I've talked to people in the highest position at Alabama, and they maintain that he's not going and he's not leaving. They're working on a new contract. Now, let me preface all that by making the most obvious statement I've ever made to you. This is all taking place before tomorrow night in Oklahoma. And I think that game is that important where a loss of any kind, 1 point or 50 points, is still going to have the same effect. It is going to be a devastating body blow to him. And I think the university would like that game to get out of the way before the next step occurs. So as much as I can tell you, I don't believe Kalen DeBoer is leaving, give me a call about midnight tomorrow.
Okay, so then the follow-up to that would be, if they lose for the third consecutive time to Oklahoma, last year it kept them out of the playoff, this year it damn near did. If they lose in the playoff to Oklahoma, they wouldn't move off of him, would they? There's no pressure in that sense. The seat would be hot next year, or is that wrong?
They will not move off of him. I can tell you that with a great deal of confidence. But I think the question is, what do they come back to him with? I don't think they really wanted to extend his contract. And for what reason, other than Jimmy Sexton's his agent, and that's just the way it happens. But I think they'll be forced into, which means absolutely nothing. We know that. But ultimately, I think if they do lose, I can tell you right now, the fans are going to be against him. I mean, they're mixed as it is, and we're talking about a playoff team. I think you could probably turn the calendar back 52 weeks and relate to that.
Yes. Yes, I can. I very much can. But from my perspective, and just looking at this from 30,000 feet, I look at a program in ruins at Michigan that does not have a president, that is probably not going to have an athletic director very, very soon, that doesn't have a coach, that could be, there could be even more sanctions coming. Who knows what all of that means? You're going to have a roster that's going to get poached. You're going to have all of these things that are going to happen here over the next month for them up there. And I look at his spot down there, and I know he's got to deal with the Saban stuff, but he's had two really good recruiting classes. He's got Keelan Russell, who's waiting in the wings to take over, the quarterback he picked. And I know, There are people calling about Ryan Williams and all of those things, but man, that happens everywhere. How is it so bad? I mean, give for our audience. Now, I've been down there, so I a little better feel for it. But for our audience, can you explain the pressure cooker that would even pique your interest in going to that Michigan mess?
I can't. I think Kalen DeBoer is a really smart guy. He probably almost certainly wanted the Michigan job last time around. You know, all the connections with Courtney Moore and all that. None of that matters when you have a job like Alabama, and you know the pressure is there, and you know Saban's down the street, but it's still better than Michigan. And I wonder if Kalen DeBoer, in many ways, has no interest in Michigan whatsoever, but isn't hanging around waiting to see if Notre Dame opens.
Well, geez. There could be that too, and who knows? Because I think one thing that I've learned in this coaching search, this is, if any of these guys get a sniff from the National Football League, they're gonna investigate and vet that, because of just how backwards all of this all is right now in college football and just how tough the job is. What do you make? You think there's any chance anybody else down there? I keep hearing Drinkwitz a little bit, and obviously he's a Missouri guy. Is there anybody else down there that would make sense and listen to Michigan?
Maybe Clark Lee, but I think Clark Lee was probably more likely at Notre Dame, where he worked under Brian Kelly. Now, all these guys have just agreed to extensions, but let me assure you, agreeing to an extension and signing it are two different things. These things often take a while, as you know. So I don't even know if Kiffin signed his contract yet. That was an issue last week when DeBoer was going through what he was going through. I think everyone's on the table for every job. And I know that sounds cliche, but I also think it's accurate.
I think it is too. And I think, by the way, I think speaking of areas down there in Kiffin, I think every quarterback's up for every job. That was kind of the big thing that happened this week. You had, I think, 13 of the top 20 kids from the Elite 11 in 2023 have either transferred already or will transfer or in the portal right now, including DJ Legue down at Florida. Let's do the Kiffin thing quickly here. From Lane's perspective, as he tries to build LSU, does he have the necessary means to go get those type of players and put them on that Tigers roster?
Most certainly. I don't think anybody probably is better equipped right now with an active fan base and NIL than Lane Kiffin. Now, I can't tell you, there are no ceilings down there, as we know, but I do think he is capable of doing whatever he wants to do.
You'd mentioned Clark Lee. Diego Pavia had a rough weekend at the Heisman, obviously, and then had the apology the following day, which I'm sure was agent-driven. It didn't seem like something that would come out of his mouth necessarily. I give a little grace, who knows, but big picture at Vanderbilt and Clark Lee. This is a program that was a doormat for its entire existence, but they got a lot of money. They're the hottest school in the country in terms of kids wanting to go there. Massive expansion. Sustainability at Vanderbilt is what?
I think it's the same as Indiana, because they were the exact same football program, except one was a private first-class university and the other one was Indiana. The difference between Indiana and Vanderbilt, though, is that Vanderbilt is located down the street from the hottest, one of the hottest areas in the country, and that is Nashville. And young people are flocking to Nashville for a myriad of reasons. You tell me, Bo, who would want to spend 5 minutes in Bloomington, Indiana?
In the words of Johnny Depp's character playing the actual character John Dillinger, there's absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana. So I'm on your side with that one about as big as possible, my friend. Let's get into these games. It starts on Friday night, tomorrow night. It is Alabama, Oklahoma. It's the headliner of this whole operation, I think, although obviously we're interested in Texas A&M and Miami up here, and we'll get to that with you in a second. What is your read on Bama at Oklahoma on a Friday night?
There's no rationale to what I'm about to say, but I like Alabama. And part of it has to do with I watched the pregame, and there was no doubt in my mind Alabama was the better team. They did everything they could to throw the game away at home. Now, some of you are saying, do you realize where this game is? Yes, I've got a plane ticket in my hand right now. But it's just, I'm not a big believer in Oklahoma. They have skated past the last part of the season. Their two signature wins were at Tennessee, which is a 4-loss team, and at Alabama, which is now a 3-loss team. They lost to the best two teams on the schedule at home against Ole Miss and, of course, against Texas. Mateer is not the same quarterback he was before the thumb injury. In fact, he doesn't appear to be even a good quarterback right now, let alone the guy who, in September, by the way, was the Heisman favorite. But there have been a few of those already. So I like Alabama.
All right, let's go to the one on Friday, and this is the one that it just stinks. This isn't a night game, and I understand why you have to you don't want to schedule against the NFL, and that's part of that calendar discussion you and I have all the time. But my goodness, College Station at night on a Saturday welcoming Miami is something very different when it's at noon. What is your read kind of on that one? And obviously, the Buckeyes will get the winner.
Yeah, I favor A&M. I'm still not a big believer in Miami. And let me just go back to what you said. This game starts at 11 a.m. local time,
oh Bo. God,
I mean, just absolutely absurd that this should be primetime Saturday night, just like last year with Ohio State and Tennessee. But because college football running away from the NFL on Saturday night on this premier weekend, we get this game just kind of stuffed down our throat while most of us are waking up going Christmas shopping.
It's a great point, man. I forgot about the 11 o'clock. It's Central Time. At some point, yeah. I mean, just go head-to-head with them. And the people who are going to watch, you're still going to get your eyeballs. And it's going to be, I think it would be massive, Paul. There's enough interest for that not to be at night is utterly shameful. And I do want to give you credit. You said something last year in the first run through the playoff, and you and I were talking, and you brought up that point of how much interest, and of course you're the worldwide leader and all of those things, but how much interest do they have in college football? And this time of year, not much, because you're getting into the NFL and all of the stuff that comes with that. And with Ohio State not being involved in that first round game this year, buddy, it feels like that the games aren't even happening. There's so little talk about it. It's crazy to me. And I just hope that there's some sort of leadership, and you talk to the people in that leadership, that can get this thing right so that these games are put on a spot that they can flourish.
You know, I remember I was in Austin last year for the 11 a.m. Clemson. No, excuse me. It was a 2:30 game. And after the game, I rushed to the airport. And, the game in Columbus was about to start. But people in Austin were not even talking about the game that had just got finished playing in their town. I mean, it was massive. I mean, listen, if you've ever been to an airport on the Saturday before Christmas, yes, you know what I'm talking about. That's all people were doing. Kids, gifts, toys. Football was the last thing on their mind, and here I was, friends, in a frenzy trying to get home for Christmas, by the way. And I was, it was one of those times like, will somebody ask me about the college football game I just covered? Nobody cared.
No, they got to get it fixed. Great talking to you as always, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network. We'll get Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. It's not a new thing, but can you talk about all of the different things that Christoph Tilly has brought to your team at this point of the season?
Yeah, really, his versatility special, his ability to create for others. You know, he's second on our team in assists. He's rebounding, you know, the ball really well. And, you know, I think for us, if he continues to gain more confidence shooting the ball, you know, it can really open some things up for us. But his ability to drive it at that size when he catches on the perimeter is really impressive.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Haha, classic Bob.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
In asking you about Christoph Tilly, Jake, it has to also point out the importance of guys being able to play even when they're a little banged up and just the sacrifice they make there.
Yeah, he's been dealing with some nagging injuries. I think we're finally starting to kind of turn the corner in that regard, and you know, having some time in between games is helpful for that. But he deserves a ton of credit because he's been nowhere near 100%, but he's fought through, he's battled, and helped us win some games during that stretch.
Is that important for guys to do the part they have to do and take care of themselves?
Yeah, and he has. And we've got a group of guys who do that, and we really spend a lot of time in the training room recovering and you know, managing, you know, player load throughout the course of the season. But injuries are going to happen as part of the game. And, you know, there's a toughness you got to have to be able to play through some of those when allowed. And he's done that.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Rooster's Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Rooster's location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Rooster's. Rooster's, a fun casual joint.
Toyota-thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through January 5th, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's the year end.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, as of today, right now, Michigan scheduled to play Texas Wednesday, December 31st at 3 o'clock in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. The football program released pictures yesterday of Bryce Underwood at Wolverines practice as they prepare to play the Longhorns. This was obtained by M Live yesterday, the Memorandum of Understanding for one Kerry Combs, their new special teams coach, outlining what was a two-year, $1.2 million agreement that went into effect 2 days before the whole Sharon Moore debacle. James T. Yoder covers the Wolverines and says Kerry Combs might walk away with $1.2 million from Michigan for 2 to 3 weeks of work. Thing or not a thing?
Well, good thing for Kerry, I guess. If that's going to happen, So I guess the only way that he wouldn't do that, since this went into effect before the Sharon Moore thing happened, the only way that he wouldn't is if whoever they hire retains him, because he still has a contract at the University of Michigan. So I assume Kerry Combs would still be somebody that a lot of folks would like on their staff. Maybe not a special teams quarter, maybe as something else. Defensive backs coach did that at a high level here. Is that one of those things where the new guy, that's what would prevent this from happening? And I would say there's a decent chance of whoever they hire at Michigan, like Kerry has nothing to do with any of this. He was just hired 3 weeks ago. Like he wasn't involved with any of this stuff. So I think there's probably a decent, I think this is going to end up being not a thing, because I would be surprised if he's not retained in some way.
I think this is a thing, and this is a good job out of him thing, right? I mean, there's no way that he was taking that job and being interviewed for that job and didn't know that some of this was out there, that some of the rumors were out there, and that this could be a possibility. And I feel like he's grinning all the way to the bank here, and I'm guessing a new coach coming in, he's going to want to bring his own guys. So they'll probably say bye-bye to Kerry Combs. And he'll be pocketing $1.2 million for doing nothing. That's good work if you can find it.
Either way, he's going to win. I think his reputation in the sport's pretty good, though. And when you're trying to put together a staff in this climate, like if you have somebody good who's there who doesn't have anything to do with it, I think there's a decent chance he's retained. But either way, he wins.
I know you guys probably talked a lot about the NBA Cup Championship and the New York
Whole
Knicks
first hour.
Beating the Spurs yesterday. Good thing out of New York, they're not going to hang a banner for it, but it is a championship that they've won. ESPN's Shams Charania says the association is looking to play the 2026 NBA Cup Final at a college arena. He mentions Duke's Cameron Indoor for a potential site next year for that in-season tournament finale. It's been played the last two at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Thing or not a thing?
It doesn't do anything for me. So they modeled this off the FA Cup, is what they did, which is in English soccer. It's the it's a true open cup. So in English soccer, I think there's either four or five, maybe more divisions, with the Premier League being at the top of it. And then it's like League One, and down you go. And if you're a fan of welcome to Wrexham, like you've seen them as they've tried to navigate to get all the way up, and they were at one of the lowest levels and just slowly worked their way up. But what the FA Cup does is it allows for every... So like, for example, Manchester City can play Wrexham for the right to move on. So you can truly have David versus Goliath in the biggest possible sense. This is just a made-up tournament in the middle of a season that isn't resonating at all. So I don't... Who cares? I'm with Chuck Barkley on this. I just think this... I want to make one distinction. I don't have a problem with Silver trying to do this. He's trying to incentivize high level of play during the season. That's what he's trying to do. And he's trying to find money. Those are the two things he's trying to do. But it hasn't hit for me. And anytime that there's one of these type of things, I'm always curious, like if my boys are paying attention and they love hoops, and they didn't pay attention to it at all. Not at all. So I don't know who it's landing with. It sure as heck isn't landing with me, and it doesn't feel like it's landing with many people, and I don't think playing in Cameron Indoor is going to change that.
I would love to, one, see the ratings on this, to know if people are watching. Are they going to let them change the court at Cameron Indoor to B, what no they've changed the courts to these other places to. I think this whole thing seems gimmicky, and it seemed gimmicky from the start. And then you do that with the courts, it makes it even more gimmicky. I don't know. I'm not one who, like, these changed court in this forced tournament is for. That's for sure. I think if you want the games to matter in the season, make these guys play. Make them fill out. Make them live up their contract. They're signing a contract to play 82 games. Make them, unless they are totally not healthy, play 82 games. And I don't know if there's some way you can incentivize the regular season more in the postseason. I don't think there's any way to do that because you get, obviously, home court advantage in your series and whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know how you make them, just make them play.
You can't because they've expanded the playoff to 10 teams now because you got the play-in games. You got seven-game series in the first round that last a month, and everyone's saving up for that. Like, what? Unless you're Oklahoma City and you're going to try to chase down history, what difference does it make? Just get in.
Speaking of Adam Silver, NBA's commissioner said the league would decide in 2026 whether to add two teams. If it happens, Las Vegas and Seattle are most likely the expansion cities. Silver says the main issue under review is by the league's existing 30 teams, whether there's an appetite to divide the NBA's roughly $11 billion in revenue by two more teams. Thing or not a thing?
No, there's not an appetite for the NBA ownership groups to add two more teams to split the $11 billion pot. I think what you will see, and I think there's some pretty logical spots, I think that what will happen is, because this is a cruel game that they really don't give a damn about the fans at all, is you will see Seattle and Las Vegas leveraged by current NBA teams who are trying to build new arenas or who are not functional or not as financially functional as they ought to be. So I'm looking at you, New Orleans. I'm looking at you, Memphis. Those are probably two cities that shouldn't have NBA franchises to begin with. I mean, New Orleans has the Saints, and that's about all you can handle. They've lost so much population, no corporate money. Memphis at least has FedEx, so that helps, and I think there's a good fan base there. But those two cities are not Las Vegas, and they're definitely not Seattle. So I think what will happen is those two franchises will be leveraged by those two cities, and I don't think you will see NBA expansion. I thought for the longest time you would, but now I don't think so.
I don't think we should see NBA expansion because I think we've realized that expansion is not always better. It doesn't mean that you get more and better quality. However, I do think this is something that the NBA will probably use to try to leverage more money out of TV contracts and whatnot. So they probably will expand. And listen, Vegas is Vegas. Everybody's going to Vegas now, so you might as well. It's one of the hottest tickets in town. And Seattle probably should have never lost the Supersonics. So no, they should
ridiculous.
They should be back there. They should have been back there a while ago.
They what'll be interesting is the NHL did the expansion because of the expansion fees, and that money was greater than the television that they were getting back, so that's why they did it. If the NBA ever got to a point where, like, for example, if the Seattle expansion fee was like $4 billion, then maybe you'll see something. But it'll always be about the money. Always. We'll attempt to beat the house coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Colin Mann here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At seven, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Number two, Ohio State's got 13 days into the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. It's the third year in a row for the Buckeyes in Dallas. They'll play the winner of Saturday's first-round playoff game between Texas A&M and Miami. The Aggies host the Hurricanes Saturday at noon. The college football playoff begins Friday in Norman. Oklahoma has Alabama at 8 o'clock. Winner there plays Indiana in the Rose Bowl quarterfinal New Year's Day. In college hoops, the 21st-ranked Ohio State women's squad's back at the Shot Thursday. Buckeyes will host Norfolk State at 6:30. You can hear that game over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. Tyler Danberg will have the call with coverage at 6:15. The Ohio State men's squad's at playing North Carolina Saturday in Atlanta. And on the ice tonight at Nationwide, the Blue Jackets host the Minnesota Wild. Jet Greaves gets the nod in net Thursday. Here on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. BMI Federal Credit Union's been voted best credit union for the past 8 years by CBUS Top Picks. For details, visit BMIFCU.org.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Thursday edition of the program. Time to see if we can beat the house.
Beat the house.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Mr. Reeser, a very nice week for you. You are returning to respectability here. You went 10-6 in week 15. Your record now 107-117 on the season. So I can see off in the distance a little bit there, 500.
Put it on the fridge, baby.
We're back. Bo, not as good of a week for you in week 15. Sad. You went 7-9, so your record for the season is exactly inverse of Reese's, 117-107. We get it kicked off tonight with a huge NFC West matchup. The Los Angeles Rams head north to face the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are a 1.5-point home favorite, Bo.
Man, there's some good ones. There's some really bad ones this week, and then there's some good ones, and this is probably the best one. Man, Thursday, by the way, NFL on Prime has had a couple of bangers. They had Dallas-Detroit 2 weeks ago, and now they get this one. Man, it's a big game for Sam Darnold. This is first place in the NFC. This is a bye. Probably Stafford MVP consideration here as well. I just think Seattle's a little bit too much of a one-trick pony offensively. It's like JSN and that's it. They can't run it very well. Their defense is great. I think it almost would take like a Stafford multiple picks like the game against Carolina. So give me the Rams to go up to Seattle tonight and win outright.
Yeah, ram it all day. Or just, I guess, ram it on Thursday. You don't have to Friday or Saturday or Sunday if you don't want.
There was no way, Bo, you were going against your Rams. No, my way. Guys. Saturday at 5 p.m. NFL hits the Saturday slate this week. The Philadelphia Eagles are in the nation's capital to take on Timmy Hall's Commanders. The Eagles, Reese, are road favorites by 6.5.
Yeah, I'm comfortable giving Philadelphia a touchdown here. Give me the Eagles.
Commies are tricky. Last week won, right? Went to the G-Men and won last week. Mariota?
Yep, Daniel's done for the year.
I'm going to go Commies to cover. Philly wins, Commies cover.
I like this. Our second game this week, we have our first disagreement. Saturday night at 8:20, the Green Bay Packers in Chicago. This is another massive one in the NFC North. The Bears are the favorites at home, Bo, 1.5 points.
Oh, this is stealing money, is what this is. Like, I grew up a Bears fan as a kid. The one thing I know about the Chicago Bears is they do not beat the Green Bay Packers ever when it matters. Not ever. And it's not going to start on Saturday night. Packers go into Soldier Field and beat the Bears outright.
I'm going to go the other way. I like the Gary Bears here beating the Packers by a field goal.
More on that in a minute.
A little foreshadowing. Yeah,
no Micah Parsons for Green Bay, but didn't they just play 2 weeks ago, too? It was a banger. Yeah.
Let's move to Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Buffalo Bills in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Reese, our Brownies are home dogs. Big number here, 10.5.
Yeah, I'm barking with Buffalo on this one. I think the only saving grace for this game is you get to maybe Myles Garrett gets the sack record. It helps that Josh Allen's going to be running around a lot. So, but give me the Bills.
boy, this is hard. Like some of these big numbers, and you get to the end of the season, like what's the give a damn level going to be? My hunch is there'll be a lot of Buffalo Bills fans in that stadium on Sunday, which certainly won't help. It's crazy sliding doors with Buffalo because they're down two scores to Cincinnati in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago, down 21-0 at home to New England. But I think Allen's starting to see it a little bit, and I just don't know offensively. Cleveland cannot run the football at all. Like Quinshon Judkins getting hit behind the line more than anybody in the league, and I think that continues. I like Buffalo as well in this one, something like 21-7 or something like that, which would do it.
The Cincinnati Bengals head south to warmer weather to face the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, Bo, are the underdogs. At home, Quinn Ewers, first start, 4.5 points.
Yeah, I think Burrow rebounds pretty bigly from what happened last week down in Cincinnati. And Quinn Ewers making his first start. This is a nice defense to make it against. I'm interested to see how he looks and what all of that looks like for him. But I like Cincinnati going down to Miami. Chase, Burrow, that's enough for me.
Yeah, good for the Bengals. Good for the Dolphins playing in South Beach the week before Christmas. Good for Spiro and Adam who get to call a game in Miami as opposed to Cincinnati. Give me the Bengals here to win this.
The Los Angeles Chargers down at Jerry World taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, home favorites, 2.5 points to you, Reese.
I told you I'd get better at this.
Go Chargers, go!
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. This is one that's making me question. There's a couple this week, that, and you do this every week. You're like, why are they favored? What am I missing here? What is... Why is Dallas favored in this game? And why wouldn't the Chargers just win it outright? Chargers went to Kansas City, beat the Chiefs last week. I think I'm going to roll opposite conventional wisdom because my guess is all the public money is on the Chargers. I'll go the Cowboys to win a game that would only they would win that makes no damn sense. I'll throw the 2.5. Give me the boys.
The Kansas City Chiefs are 3-point favorites down in Nashville taking on the Tennessee Titans, Bo.
In a million years, I never thought I would do this. I think Tennessee is going to beat them.
Ooh.
No Mahomes.
No Minshew mania for you.
No Minshew mania for me. Like, who cares? Is Kelce even going to play in this game? Like, what is the point? What are they doing? Like, they're done. I think they push in the chips. Tennessee gets a home win. Give me the Titans.
Yeah, I like the Titans here as well. I mean, Kelce's done, right? There's just way too much talk this week. I mean, he even went on his podcast and had his brother, like, talk to him about retirement and how it feels.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's just be done then.
No love for the Minshew mustache. A little disheartening there. The New York Jets with Brady Cook down in New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Saints are the home favorites. Reese, 4.5 points.
Yeah, I like the feisty New Orleans Saints for some reason. If you're putting money on this, there's the hotline. Give me New Orleans here, though, to win.
I think Tyler Shuck's actually been pretty good. They may have something in New Orleans, which would be a big benefit to them to get him in the second round. The Jets are a mess. Yeah, Saints go marching in.
The Minnesota Vikings are 3-point favorites up in New York taking on the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be 50 degrees. It's going to be, it seems like J.J. McCarthy found a little something getting better the last couple of weeks. I think that continues. It did interesting story out of Minnesota how they're going to remake his mechanics this year. And kind of get that back on track a little bit. But in the irregardless, give me Minnesota going to New York and winning. I'll throw the 3.
Yeah, are we doing the thing where every week it's like, is J.J. McCarthy good? And after last week, it's like, how good could J.J. McCarthy actually be? It sounds similar to what they're doing with Buffalo, what Josh Allen did in Buffalo and remaking him mechanics. Like, does he come out of this better?
Mm-hmm. So you're taking Minnesota?
I'm taking Minnesota, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I know one thing with JJ, he's got to get on the same page with Justin Jefferson because that's crazy how he can complete passes to everyone else but him. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, gosh, this is going to be tough for them. On the road, facing the greatest team in the history of the world, the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, home dogs, 3 points.
Carolina wins outright. Pound them, baby. Keep pounding. I mean, I guess just pound on Sunday. You don't have to... Feels like a lot, 7 days of pounding.
Yeah, you're ramming things, you're pounding things.
We're getting into T-Bone and Tyvus territory here.
You ram it on Thursday, take a couple days off, pound it on Sunday.
Such a weird team Carolina is. like some of their losses, some of their wins, just so, so strange. I do think that they're in a better spot, though, now than the Bucks, and I do think that I'm going to be paying the cool G that's going to go in an investment, some sort of an investment for NBC. I like Carolina as well. I think they win.
Let's head to the 405 slate. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars in Denver taking on the Broncos, who are the home favorites, Bo, by 3 points.
Yeah, I'm just not going to overthink it. I think Denver's defense is just too dang good, and I think Lawrence coming off of, you know, the best game he's ever had as a pro comes back to earth a little bit. Give me Denver. I'll throw the 3.
Yeah, I like the Broncos here as well.
Interesting how we've lost hooks here down the end of the season.
Isn't that something?
That's crazy.
It was all 3.5, 4.5, 6.5, and now so many whole numbers.
The Atlanta Falcons heading west to take on the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, home dog, 3 points.
Another 1-800 gambler if you're putting money on this one, but give me the Falcons by 3 here.
Yeah, I'll follow you there. I like Cousins. I like the Falcons too. That's a brutal game. There'll be 8 people at that. I'm on the ESPN site and get in for $12.
The 425 slate starts with the Pittsburgh Steelers up in Detroit taking on the Lions. The Lions are the home team favorite by 7 points.
Is this one me?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. This tells you what Pittsburgh really is. And what they really are is not good. They're not. They're going to win that division because the way the schedule sets out, but I think Detroit buries them in Detroit.
I see it differently. I think Pittsburgh keeps it close. I think Detroit wins, but give me the Steelers to cover that 7.
The Vegas Raiders down in Houston taking on the Texans. Big number here for the home team. They are the 14.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit too much. The Texans win. I think they're the scariest team right now going into the postseason on the AFC side of things, but I think the Raiders cover this.
Is this Pickett again?
I believe so.
For the Raiders? So. Yeah. I'll take Houston. And I'll throw 14.5.
Sunday night football sees good the one. New England Patriots head south to take on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are a field goal favorite at home.
And for the life of me, I don't understand
why.
Yeah, I think New England's actually good. I think Baltimore's got real problems. New England was up 21-0. On Buffalo last week. I don't think there's a hangover for that. I think Vrabel gets them right back on track. Give me the Patriots, and I guess I don't have to give it. I'm getting 3, so give me New England.
I like New England out right here. I won't be here Monday, so I'll just give you the Colts plus the 6 right now. I think they keep it. Phillip Rivers keeps it fun. I think San Francisco wins. But I think as long as you've got old man Rivers, you're just going to be keeping it close every week from here on out.
And that Monday night game is the 49ers in Indianapolis taking on the Colts. The 49ers 6.
What's going to be crazy about that is San Francisco has no pass rush. So, I mean, truly, like they don't sack the quarterback. So, like, Rivers will be fine. He'll stay upright in that one. It'll just all be a bunch of quick hitters left and right. What a story that'll be on Monday night. What a story this is. And the person behind it, boy, it all makes sense. The Gary Bears? It's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Before you buy
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Jackets are back in Nationwide for a battle with the Minnesota Wild. Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go!
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Hello, it's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
As we go into the day today, a mix of sun and clouds with more clouds later today and chances of rain developing this afternoon. Daytime highs soaring into the 50s, but with gusty winds. For tonight, rain chances especially as we go into the evening and overnight. Lows down into the 20s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place.
Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
They are, look, Mike's from Chicago, AR's from Chicago, Fish is from Chicago. So we're well represented here. I was a Bears fan as a kid. I'm not nearly as qualified as any of those people are to discuss where the Bears standing is in the city. My perception of it has always been that Chicago is a Bears town. And there was probably a time when it was a Michael Jordan town, and there probably a time when it was a Cubs and so forth. But my perception of it was tried and true. Chicago was a Bears town. That was job one, was the Chicago Bears. So when the Chicago Bears, the team of my youth, hired Kevin Warren to be their president and CEO, I went, oh no. Oh no. Because we saw it. We saw it here. We saw it here in the Big Ten, and we saw the way that he operated that. So they have been trying over the last several years. I guess another part of the backstory of this is I've always felt, and certainly as I grew older and some of my fandom went away, I've always felt that the Chicago Bears were one of the most mismanaged operations in the National Football League. They had the third largest city in this country to themselves. There's almost no reason why the Chicago Bears aren't the Dallas Cowboys, or why they're not the New York Giants or the Washington now Commanders and Eagles, like one of the New England Patriots. Like, there's no reason. But part of the reason that they haven't achieved those goals is because it's been in the Halas family forever. And they aren't, their wealth is in the Bears. Their wealth isn't from somewhere else. And they're not the, they don't have the business acumen that Jerry Jones had with the Cowboys to take an entity and a brand and maximize the value of it. They've never had an interest in doing that, ever. And so you think about the Bears and Soldier Field and the Monsters of Midway and all of that stuff. Well, over the last couple of years, there's been all sorts of plans that they've tried to get off the ground on how to do a new stadium for the Bears. Now, it strikes you a little bit odd in the sense that it feels like they just did this, but it's been 20 plus years. When did they put the spaceship on that thing? Is it like early 2000s, late 90s? Something like that on the old Soldier Field. So the two plans that we've seen two. Number one is stay at the Soldier Field site and renovate it and modernize it and all of those things, but the I'm sure the McCaskey family doesn't really want that because you still have all the issues that are there with having the stadium at that site, the parking, all of the things that come with it, and you can't maximize revenue in the city because you're on city property. So all of these operations, and you saw it up in Cleveland with the Browns, you saw it. The best example is certainly what Bob Kraft has done in New England, where he basically built Patriots World up there. And it's well away from the city and kind of decently located between Providence and Boston. In fact, when NFL teams go to New England to play, they stay in Providence. They don't stay in Boston. And so that's what a lot of them are looking at. Jerry did it in Dallas. He built his stadium, and then he built Cowboys World, and he owns it. And so that's what a lot of them are trying to do. So the Bears are trying to do it. So they had the downtown stadium opportunity, and then the other opportunity was in the northern suburbs in Arlington Heights. And they were going to build it up there at the old racetrack that was up there. So they were going to go build that up there. Well, the state of Illinois said, not quite there for you yet. And they're not able to commit to the infrastructure, the improvements that the Bears want to move it into a place like Arlington Heights. And it feels like that from the state perspective, that the Bears are in a spot where the state doesn't want to play ball with them and the city doesn't want to play ball with them. Now, the reason you need those things to play ball is because you aren't liquid. Not in the sense that some of these owners are liquid. Not like Stan Kroenke, where you can scratch a check for a $4 billion stadium out of your back pocket. They don't have that. So they're going to need a little bit of help to get these things done. So yesterday, this brings us back to Kevin Warren, released a statement saying the team's decision to focus on Arlington Heights for its new stadium location has changed. Here's the quote. We need to expand our search and critically evaluate opportunities throughout the wider Chicagoland region, including Northwest Indiana. This is not about leverage. How do you even type that without it with a straight face? We spent years trying to build a new home in Cook County. We invested significant time and resources evaluating multiple sites and rationally decided on Arlington Heights. Our fans deserve a world-class stadium. Our players and coaches deserve a venue that matches the championship standard they strive for every day. With that in mind, our organization must keep every credible pathway open to deliver that future. The Bears in Arlington Heights. The Bears in Gary, Indiana. I've driven through Chicago a bunch the last couple of summers through for all the lacrosse stuff that we've had to play all over the Midwest. And so know the drive very well, know the region pretty well. Certainly not like the guys who are from there, who worked here. I really can't see any scenario, and I could be wrong on this. Fish could correct me immediately. Mike could correct me. AR could correct me. I don't see any scenario where a bunch of Bears fans are going to flock to Gary, Indiana to watch the Bears.
No.
I just don't.
Soldier Field opened in 1924, and your point about adding that thing on top of it, whatever you want to call it, was in 2003, was when the last renovation came. The project was funded with $660 million in bonds that are being paid off with taxes paid by city hotels. And I guess there's still a significant portion of that that needs paid off.
Yeah.
And the Bears have a lease with Soldier Field. They're paying like $6 million a year to play games at Soldier Field. That goes through 2033. If they want to break that, I think the earliest they can do so is 2026. They got to pay like $85 million to break that lease. I mean, just this has been a complete and utter disaster with the Bears' handling of their stadium and what their plans are for the future. All of them get worse. Like, each one gets worse. And I don't think Illinois has got any care to come and bail them out of this, because
Doesn't seem so.
They're going to get $85 million if the Bears want to get out of this before 2033.
So it says that it's 36 minutes to drive from downtown Chicago to Gary, Indiana. But I'm guessing traffic, it's not 36 minutes. Dude, I'm guessing it's more like an hour.
I'm going to tell you what. You might be able to get from downtown Chicago. And by the way, anybody from this station who grew up in Chicago can correct me if I'm wrong, but my hunch is that the majority of their fan base is coming north of the city, which is why they wanted to go to Arlington Heights, is because that's where the fandom was, is they wanted to go up there because people didn't want to come into the city. Now, you can argue, should they be in downtown or not? That's a conversation for a native Chicagoan. That's not me. I don't know that. And so I can't speak to that the way that the folks who work here could. But my hunch is that this would be the opposite of the area that you want to go. I don't know a scenario where you could get from Gary, Indiana to downtown Chicago in 36 minutes unless it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I really don't. Maybe 3 in the morning.
I remember Mike talking about when they first mentioned Arlington Heights, and I believe he said it was like a 45-minute drive from downtown Chicago to Arlington Heights. And as you mentioned, Bo, seems like a lot of the population in the suburbs are to the north and northwest, kind of where Arlington Heights is. So maybe that would be a shorter drive for some fans. I just don't, and it looks like Gary is a little further away from downtown Chicago than Arlington Heights is.
But it's south.
and it's southeast. And I know that Gary, Indiana is not usually the best area.
Oh, no.
A lot of people don't have high things to say about Gary, Indiana. I just can't see this happening. Not only would you be taking them out of Chicago, you're taking them out of the state. I just don't see how that happens.
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Same, brother. Same. Yeah. I don't sense it at all. I think it would be an absolutely critical error. And I just think all of these professional sports teams better be careful. And I'll tell you why in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Side of Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. And with Caesars Rewards, you earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. And at Side of Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive in to Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps building. Wait until 2026. Side of Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing. It's coming right here to town. So come, experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at Eldorado Side of Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/sideofdowns. For details. These pro sports teams have to be careful. We are a sports consuming society to where the stay-at-home product is damn near perfect. Your bathroom, no parking, your snacks, your food, massive television. In many instances, multiple screens where you can watch multiple games at the same time. Is there still incredible value to going to a venue and seeing a game? You better believe it. But do you have to go to every one? And if you are an NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hell, Buckeye season ticket holder, do you want to commit to going to every game? And in the old days, you could buy the season tickets and sell them and make a little bit of profit. And that would kind of pay for your tickets. But the demand to go to games now isn't what it used to be. Not week in and week out. There are still some games that stand on their own. There are still some games that the ticket is massive to be able to go in because, boy, there is nothing better than a big game on campus on a Saturday or a big Sunday afternoon game that means everything. A division title, all of those things. And you want to be there. There's a community, there's a camaraderie that comes with that. But if you are going to expect that, you better do two things. Number one, you better win. You better put a great product on the field. The number two thing you better do is everything in regard to attending the game had better be easy. It can't be a pain in the neck to park. You can't gouge me for my seat. You can't gouge me for a beer or a hot dog or a slice of pizza or nachos or whatever. I've got to be able to enjoy my time there. And so when you're having this Bears conversation about moving to Gary, Indiana, and again, not from the area, but my hunch is that would be a massive turnoff for that fan base. And the idea of folks from the north, I mean, so if you're saying 36 minutes from downtown, you're talking, I mean, in some instances, that could be 2 hours to get from a northern suburb to Gary. There's no easy way there. There is a lake. Unless you're going to be able to bridge over it. I just don't see any scenario how this would be easy at all. And I hesitate to even make this big of a deal about it because this line in the second sentence where he says this is not about leverage. Well, of course it is. Of course it's about leverage. This can't be realistic.
I mean, it's all this is. All he sent the published the open letter yesterday. All it was, just a letter for leverage. But it reeks of the desperation that it is, because I don't see a path forward for the Chicago Bears outside of Soldier Field. And they're not getting the roof put on it, because I think there's something in place that doesn't allow Soldier Field to have a roof on it, something with Lakeshore Drive. And they don't feel like the franchise that has the cash to do the kind of renovations that would put them up there with some of the top stadiums, even in their own division.
Bo, you put that into perspective, like a lot of the fans coming from the northwest part of Chicago to get down there to that, and it being like 2 hours. I know there are some people in Columbus that have Brown season tickets, and I know there are some people in Columbus that have Bengals season tickets. But that's not a majority of your fan base.
No, no.
And you can't rely on a majority of your fan base to be driving an hour and a half, 2 hours every week to watch your games.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday. This was two summers ago. We were playing in that Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove area. So in this area where they want to put the stadium, our game was on Saturday. I knew our game started Saturday morning. I knew that the traffic was brutal around Chicago, because I'd just been there like 2 weeks previously. We had a tournament like way up on the border in northern Illinois, and the Wisconsin, it was in Rockford, because I asked AR and Fish for recommendations. So it was in Rockford. So that's where it was. So I knew that the traffic was brutal. So I set out Friday early to make sure that we were through the city to get north before any semblance of rush hour. Before any semblance. So we left in the single digits, like either 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. It was early, really early. And from the time, it was smooth sailing until Gary. And then the last 30 miles took us 2.5 hours to get from there to the northern, to the whatever that area was. It was in that Arlington Heights area. I can't remember exactly where the stadium was, but it was somewhere up there in those northern suburbs. Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove, one of them up there. And it took us over 2.5 hours to get there. And you just couldn't go anywhere. It was gridlock, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. On a Friday. 2 o'clock. This wasn't rush hour. It wasn't anything like it. It was just normal. And there was construction and stuff. I suppose, I mean, obviously all of these things contributed, but you've got to be careful. And I do think that there is a threshold that the fan will put up with, but I do think that we are at a place now where the fan is holding you accountable in ways that they never previously could, because of how good it is to just stay at home.
And I think one thing, too, with prices.
Sure.
With the way the prices are going, why are you going to do something that's going, you have to pay really good money for, but is going to be something that is not convenient for you or is not an enjoyable experience to get there? So if you're going to continue to raise prices like this, you definitely got to make it easier to get to your stadium. I think, Bo, the Bears only have one answer here. There's only one thing they can do. And he may not be able to beat the Green Bay Packers or the Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, but you got to bring Justin Fields back, because he can beat Kevin Warren.
He did. Yeah, he did. He did beat Kevin Warren. You know, the other thing about this that's interesting, and this speaks to like a professional sports, to a lesser degree, college sports thing. For the longest time in our country, there was an incredible sense of pride of being a season ticket holder. Oh, I got season tickets. Mm-hmm. Season tickets to the Jacket. Season tickets to Buckeye football. Season tickets to Buckeye basketball. When I first got here, as an incredible courtesy that Ohio State did, if you were in the media, you could buy season tickets for Buckeye football. My guess is you still can. But I was offered the ability to. Do you know what? When I first got here in 07, there were no, because I was going to buy basketball season tickets. I bought the football ones. So I was going to buy the basketball ones. There were no basketball season tickets available.
I believe that.
In 2007. There weren't any available to be bought. There are now. And I don't know if the season ticket, point of pride, badge of honor, it exists anymore. Like if I was a consumer And I was somebody as a diehard fill in the blank fan, and just use Buckeye football. Would I want to buy 8 games for X amount of dollars, or do I just pay an exorbitant amount for the Texas game or the Michigan game or the Penn State game or USC or Oregon? Like, do I want to go to all the rest of those and deal with the hassle of selling it on the secondary market, making it all work? I don't think I do. I think my play would be buy a couple of games. I don't need season tickets.
And that's the conversation that I've heard more and more over the last at least decade, is that folks who can purchase season tickets directly from Ohio State, you buy a season and you go to one game and the rest of them you just sell in order to make up or to make money to pay for going to that one final game.
Yeah, it seems like where that's a thing is if you own a business, mm-hmm. you get tickets for the business and then you can entertain clients and that's all a write-off and all of that. And but that goes back to the point of the prices. Like, a lot of the normal people can't afford to do that or afford to buy season tickets anymore. And it is just those businesses or corporations that can do it.
The Blue Jackets do a good job of this. The Cavaliers do a pretty good job of this. Making sure, now they're way up. By the way, in hockey, I love being way up. Basketball, I don't. But in hockey, I love being way up. Being able to get in, get in the door. And I think that's something that's going to be really critical for professional sports over the next decade, because the old model of build an exorbitant facility, everyone's going to pay your PSL, everyone's going to buy your season tickets, I don't know how realistic that is anymore. And I think the Bears are playing with fire here, man. I really think they are. This is an iconic franchise, one that is historically underachieved. You are, and again, I think this is leverage. I don't want to put too much attention to it. My hunch is they'll either up in Chicago or else they'll be back in the northern suburbs. But it's a heck of a game of chicken you're playing.
Do the owners step in with the Bears and force a sale because of the mismanagement by the McCaskies isn't making anybody the money that it could in that market?
Can you force George Halas's
great
offspring once removed? Can you force them to sell the Bears?
The initials are on the sleeve,
right? I mean, geez, they're probably very similar to what I was saying yesterday about the Bengals, though. They're the perfect team that should take on some private equity and get an influx of cash so they can do it on their own. And then they can buy the land in Arlington Heights, and then they can do whatever they can pay for the whole stadium. They can do all that stuff. Like, you need to be a little bit more liquid than they currently are. So something worth monitoring, because there's big picture implications to it in addition to just the immediate implications that go well beyond Chicagoland. We'll get you three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sunday, a day of rest, relaxation, and Browns football. Catch the Brownies as they battle the Bills. Josh Allen is sexy, and OJ is dead.
Live fan coverage starts Sunday at 11 with the Kick at 1.
Your radio home of the Browns, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do we have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, which one of the former Buckeyes on air, on The Fan, could play for the Columbus Aviators this upcoming UFL season? Your options are Tyvus, Bobby Carpenter, Justin Zwick, or Joshua Perry. Tyvus is leading with 38% of respondents. Then you've got Joshua with 28, Bobby Carpenter at 27, and Zwick getting 5% there.
I haven't seen Joshua in a second. I feel like Bob's in better shape than Tyvus right now. Tyvus does run.
Oh boy, here come the text messages.
I think it's Zwick.
Zwicky? Does Zwicky still have a whip?
Because he's, I don't know how his arm strength is, but he looks to be in great shape. And I don't know if, you know, the physicality of it, where he could probably read the field still
like
pretty
he
well.
Rivers it?
Yeah.
So they made
He played for the Destroyers. I remember that. And then he was part of a dodgeball competition that nearly ended in fistfights when his howitzer almost took a guy's head off and the guy wanted to fight us.
Because
I was a participant in that.
Tyvus, Bob, and Joshua are doing tackling and hitting positions. And they're going up against guys, in some cases, two decades their junior.
Yeah, and I'm thinking just in terms of, like, covering space, where is Tyvus has been an elite more recently. I mean, more recently he's been on NFL rosters. So, but like he plays a position where you have to cover a lot of ground.
Well, not anymore. He's a linebacker now. Oh, he's not playing safety.
Oh, currently, Tyvus would have to drop 20 LBs to.
So he goes to like the Arvell Reese spot.
Yeah, he's the outside backer.
God, that'd be something.
I think the point, and they made this morning, Dylan did, that Zwicky's not going to get hit. These guys are going to be taking hits, and it's physical, and I mean, they're giving hits, but
yeah,
I think Zwicky could still stand back there and sling it. You know, you got to have an O-line to protect him, but I would think it's probably Justin.
Fish says Tyvus weighs 256, and I knew, I didn't want to give that quote because I knew that Joshua had guilted him on air with that, because I heard that when Brother Bone did him dirty and read Joshua's question to Tyvus on air. So I did hear that part. They're all in great shape. I'd love to see that. Well, I tell you what, if we could have got 10 Gid Jr. on the phone on the show today, we could have asked him.
Look, at
which
least
one would you want?
Put Tyvus on the spot and have him be, you know, participate in tryout.
He would do that. He did that. You know what? I'm going to give my nephew a little bit of credit here. I'm going to go T. Powell, and I'm going to tell you why. He was doing that when he was doing the NIL stuff for Ohio State. He was participating in all those sports, and he was doing that running challenge with Richard Sherman.
He was.
He's
20 pounds ago, brother.
Okay. That's wild. That's fun. All right, let's do three things.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
All right, number one for me. Today is, I don't even know why. Today randomly is the boys' last day of school before winter break. So they didn't even make them do a full week. Like they're off tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what. All three of them, to a man, and to a man being me the man, were straight punks this morning. Straight punks. I mean, just utter jerks. And I'm like, what are you guys complaining about? You're about ready to have 2.5 weeks off. They're going to California while I stay here. And they're like, not in a good mood. Like, get over it, boys. You little punks. So there's going to be some retribution tonight when they get home.
First thing for me, I saw this on Twitter earlier today. A guy, an account by the name of DMV Adventures, has decided to take a train from Washington, D.C. to Eugene, Oregon to watch JMU in the college football playoff. And so he started chronicling his adventures about 3 hours ago, but this was from a couple of days ago. And his first video is from a blizzard in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making his way out there, but this is a wild story. And it's really cool to kind of see just what college football can bring us and what how college football brings us together like this. So at DMV Adventures, if you want to follow along on his journey, I think he's somewhere, I think he's still in Montana right now, just because despite what Yellowstone says, it's a very big state.
Yeah, it's a little bit of distance there. Watch out for the wind, brother.
Speaking of Montana, we talked a little bit about the Montana State game earlier. I am looking now if you want to get tickets to get into the game. There are only 36 tickets left, it says, to be sold on the secondary market right now. The cheapest you can get in the door for is $453. Standing room tickets right now are going for $509. The most expensive ticket left, $1,800.
That's just crazy, man. It's going to be nuts. We talked about that yesterday. And it's going to be, I'll just make this my number two. It's going to be 36 degrees. It's going to be in Bozeman. It pains me to say it. I wish it was in Missoula. It's just a better stadium. The Cats beat the Grizz in Missoula in the Cat-Grizz game at the end of the month. But it's just going to be unbelievable for those two teams to play in a playoff. And in light of yesterday's weather out there, and I mentioned this early in the show, 90-mile-an-hour wind, you want to talk about things that Yellowstone gets wrong. They didn't show that, did they?
They didn't show not once
semi-trucks being blown off the road. Literally, just Google it, kids. It's out there. Multiple semi-trucks, dozens, blown off of the roads in Montana yesterday.
The only time it showed a Wendy was when Casey was meditating.
That's true.
They never paid that off, did they?
No, there's so many things they didn't pay off,
dude. Found a wolf, and he was tripping on something, and that was just, that.
Just, okay, that's enough of that. On to the next.
My second
thing. Let's put Taylor Sheridan in a hot tub, and now that's an episode.
Let's make him the coolest person ever.
Yeah.
Is literally what he did.
That's right.
A name to watch out for Ohio State's soon-to-be-vacant wide receiver coach spot is Cortez Hankton. He was LSU's former wide receiver coach since 2022. He was the co-OC back in 2024. Lane Kiffin's going to replace him, so he's on the interview trail, and he interviewed for the Ohio State job. It's probably one of the most coveted assistant positions in the country. But Cortez Hankton from LSU, a name to watch as he does have wide receiver coaching experience and big-time co-OC duties.
Back in 1942, Cleveland hosted the first ever American Hockey League All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. They have not hosted it since. Well, this morning, the Cleveland Monsters in Rocket Arena announced that they will host the 2027 AHL All-Star Game weekend. It will be Sunday, February 7th and Monday, February 8th up at Rocket Arena there in Cleveland. So very cool. They hosted the first one and they get to host it again in 2027.
Finally, number three for me, I'm finally catching up on Landman about halfway through the second season. It's ice cream. It's ice cream. It's utter nonsense. Like some of the stuff they do with Allie Larder is just absolute utter nonsense. But damn it, it's good when Billy Bob Thornton gets to go on a diatribe, and I'll continue to watch it. Now Andy Garcia's in the mix playing like... It's just
a drug lord, right?
Yeah, drug lord, oil guy. I don't know what he's a man in business. I mean, who knows? But it's all working, and I'll continue to watch it, even though there's absolutely no nutritional value.
Yeah, that'll be my third thing. Is there's just too much on right now that I kind of can't keep track. Like, I just finished the Diddy documentary on Netflix.
Oh, baby,
it's a couple hours, and I could not take my eyes off of it. 50 Cent, you dog. Like, you talk about the canary grin on 50 Cent. Mm. Watch some of his recent media availabilities.
Yeah.
He's loving every
minute. He got the footage.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. There is a lot, and that means you need to fit Rothman and Ice into your afternoon as well. They're coming up next.
Indeed they are. AR will have some good insight on this Bears proposal thing that's being done over there as well. You have that look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.